The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed on today's radio show and their guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints of Easy Way Broadcasting.
Welcome to Radio Boomers Live, the show about all things human from a baby boomer's perspective. All things hot and all things not. News, reviews, interviews, chat, tech, and what's next. And here are your hosts, Reefa Gray from Betty White's Off Their Rockers and Easy's dad, Jim Zulli.
Wow, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, Reefa. Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year, Reef. Wow, it comes around
Happy
so fast.
Happy New Year.
Here we are. And I got a feeling,
Reefa. 2017.
Yeah, can you believe it? I got a feeling you didn't go out and party last night. Am I right? Did you kind of take a break and stay back, stay home?
Well, you mean New Year's Eve or last night? Well, I basically didn't go out at night for the last two nights. That's basically true. But I partied hard during the day and all last week. So.
Okay. Yeah, New Year's Eve, I was talking to people and a lot of them are just kind of kicking back, staying home, playing it safe, you know. But, wow, can you believe, you know, like 2017, it sounds like the future.
It is the future, but the future is now. That's just
yeah.
It. I remember worrying about 1984, it came and it went. I remember worrying about 2000, it came and went.
Yeah.
We're already to 2017. You know, it's amazing. Time really does fly when you're having fun.
Whether you're having fun or not, it doesn't even make any difference. I was looking at the top places people like to go for New Year's, and it turned out to be one of them you'll like. New York, Honolulu, L.A., I know you like that, Chicago, Portland, Oregon, Las Vegas, Nevada, New Orleans. Those were the top seven places where people went for New Year's, and that's something.
Yeah. I went home, so but that brings us up to our hot topic.
Hot topic time.
Ripped from the headlines, today's hot topic.
Well, everybody's all abuzz about Mariah Carey and her performance last night at the New Year's Rockin' Eve television show. And, you know, it's always a bunch of confusion and drama, but usually it's behind the scenes. This time everyone got to see it. Poor Mariah couldn't hear music. She couldn't sing in lip sync with the music. And so now everybody knew she was lip syncing instead of singing. What? I don't get what the big deal is. The girl was out there with hardly any clothes on. It was freezing. I wouldn't want to sing under those conditions either, and I don't have a voice. So I understand why she was lip-syncing, but supposedly she missed the sound checks, and that's why she didn't know that the sound wasn't working right, and on and on and on. That's not news, folks. Can we move on? But it is the hot topic on the news, and I'm sure it'll be on all the talk shows and all the everything else. So, Mariah, I'm sorry it didn't work out. Audience, I'm sorry you didn't get to hear Mariah live, but it's 2017. Can we move on? It's not that hot of a topic. And your hot topic, Jim.
Well, you know, we talked about, I saw an article on Patch.com. They did a Morris poll, and, you know, we all talk about our resolutions, and I just thought I'd go over some of the ones that Americans had on their list. And what actually knocked weight loss from number one was basically being a better person, came in 16%. And then moving, or it's funny how that it's been stable for so many years, but being a better person came out on top, and exercising more tied with weight loss for second place at 10%. And then moving to third place was spending, these are all popular ones everybody has, spending less and saving more, of course. And then improving your health, eating healthy, and that put them around 7%. Last year, the top resolutions were losing weight and getting better jobs, exercising more, stop smoking, improving your health, and then down the list was being a better person, eating healthier, spending less and saving more. And those were in the bottom of the list. So gender, age, and geography, they all made a difference in the poll. And 19% of women were more likely to mention being a better person than any other resolution. For men, being a better person tied with exercising more. But, you know, the thing is, Reef, and we talk about this, those are all fine resolutions. And basically they churn around and they're always in the top 10. We want to be a better person. We want to be in better shape. We want to save more money and spend less. And, but it just seems like it's staying on that we've talked about before. And that program is sometimes difficult. We get off track. It's sticking with it. And but the thing is, when you do stick with it and you start seeing results, it makes it easier to keep that little program that you're working on. And you and I, Reese, we've talked about this juicing program and so on. But do you do it? And that's one of the problems people have is sticking with their well-met resolutions.
Well, that's how come it has to be a lifestyle change and not just a resolution.
Yeah, exactly. And
well, that takes us up to our first commercial.
Commercial time.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zuli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Welcome to EasyWayBroadcasting.com, your one-stop shop getaway to corporate Hollywood. EasyWay specializes in red carpets and will enhance your experience. EasyWayBroadcasting.com is top-ranked on Alexa and houses the EasyWay TV Film On channel, podcast radio station, and EasyWay magazine. Learn more about the beautiful EasyWay Angels and follow their events calendar. For more information, visit EasyWayBroadcasting.com and click on About Us or call 424-209-9290. Don't forget to subscribe to the website and follow Easy Way on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for amazing updates and opportunities. Remember, that's letter E and letter Z because, well, we do it the easy way.
Well, we do it the easy way, Reese. That's the way it goes.
Absolutely.
And, now, I'm hoping that we have our guest come in. She's a very, very busy lady. But I tried last minute to get her on because everybody was busy over the holidays and that. And her name is Elham Medina, and she is a beyond amazing person. Miss Persia USA film producer. She's a producer, filmmaker, founder of the Wynn International Film Festival, World Humanitarian Awards, and she's received numerous awards. We have to find out where you put all this stuff, you know, because we know as baby boomers, your house gets loaded. And with somebody like Elham, her house is really going to be loaded by the time she's our age. So let's see if she's with us. Elham, are you on? Be with us?
Hi.
There she is. Elham, this is Reetha Gray and Betty White's off the Roger. Reetha, Elham Medina.
Welcome.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Welcome to the show, my dear. And, you know, I don't mean to cut in on your time, but you have such an extensive resume, you know, biography and history. It would take the whole show just saying all your accomplishments.
Oh, really? I appreciate it. Thank you. Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on with you.
What do you want to know first? You need to ask
me. You received the Miss Persia USA Award. You're a producer, filmmaker. Now, you have so much on your plate, and then you have you founded the Wynn International Film Festival. Where are your energies, or where do you get all this energy to follow through with all this stuff, and what's on the table, what's your prime directive now that you're working on?
You're asking about energy. It's like a motivation that you see your fellow filmmakers, for example, through the Wind International Film Festival. You know, when you're receiving their emails, you know how they're motivated, how they want to be a part of this festival. So you feel more responsibility to gain yourself, to bring more energy to your life because of responsibility. I feel that they are like my child, my brother, my sisters. So I try to push myself harder each day. Really, I push myself harder. And sometimes I feel that I'm like a volcano. This energy is not coming from one person. It's coming from heavenly source, believe me or not. It's like that. And another thing is that dedication. Mostly people go into so many trips, events or something. Whenever I go somewhere, there is a reason. There is a reason because I'm seeing my filmmaker's vision through that event. So I try to bring them, even they are not with me, but they are like invisible family with me all over, whenever I go and wherever I go.
What is the Wind Film Festival?
What is that about, Wind? You mean what is Wind about?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to make something different, and also I wanted to have a name that can be can hold the meaning and the vision of this creature, this festival. I wanted to have something that is different from other film festivals. So I created the Wind. Wind comes from the women, and W stands for women, right? And I inspiring filmmakers, and N stands for nation, and D stands for diversity. I felt that we need something to bring more diversity because always, you know, people from other parts of the world, when they migrate to another country, life has changed for them. For example, some people are native. Maybe they don't appreciate, maybe they don't think that my immigrant people are important, but really they are breaking the bridge coming back to their home.
Yeah.
They have no choice to stay in a new country. This is really, really hard, too challenging to learn in new cultures, to think about how the new people are thinking about them, to absorb and to feel them. It's really, really hard. So I am one of those because I left my country, Iran, many years ago. Then I moved to India, then Dubai, then Canada. Then to be able to come to Hollywood, USA, that was my dream country because of women's rights is way better than Middle East.
That's
so
amazing.
For me, everything changed. You know, I left my beloved, I left my family, my old friends, everything. I came here with nothing, no emotional thing in myself. So I brought all my emotion into my film industry, to creation of the new thing in the film industry. Then I noticed, oh my God, it's not actually very, very fair. There are very few female filmmakers in here, even in Hollywood. So I try to make a balance and bring more women into the film industry through whatever I do.
Yeah. Wow, I'll give you a lot of credit for that. That's an amazing story. Now, you work with Eric.
When is the film festival?
Before, because I'm Canadian, I lived in Canada. I had my festival in Canada. And it started from a small, I was appreciating the filmmakers and talents that was a part of my film. I met so far like 55 films, if I'm not wrong, from short film, commercial, music video, and feature film, and documentary length, feature documentary length was kind of my latest activities. So Two times mostly I try to make it in Hollywood nowadays. I mean, from last year, because Hollywood, so many people are interested to come to Hollywood. It is their dream too. So I'm trying to make their dream come true, at least to be able to attend the festival. They can see Hollywood for maybe even half a day, like something like that. So the festival was in Regency Theater before on July 6, 2016, and then they went to private red carpet for all the filmmakers. But this time we are going to go on last week of February. And perhaps it's going to be in Regency Theaters, or maybe it's going to be in the Music Hall in Beverly Hills. And the second red carpet is going to be on rooftop of the very, very beautiful restaurant in Chinatown.
This is going to be amazing.
And the third day is going to be, actually, we are starting first to introductionary and meeting each other before festival. It's going to be the first day, and I explain with some of my team what we are expecting to them, make them ready for the speech. And then, because some of them really, like, also my winners, unfortunately or fortunately, they were like 22. It was like a secret key number 22 last year. So we had three filmmakers that by chance they were 22. So I don't know. But I'm receiving a lot of calls myself to my cell phone from overseas, and most of them are Jewish, and it's amazing for me that Jewish people are interested to be a part of my film festival, and also I was a part of there's kind of like a political thing that Jewish and Muslim are not getting very well together, but it's not true. So I'm trying to break everything that is like a gospel. We love each other. I mean, people should love each other. We are all the same.
A woman's interested in submitting a film to the festival, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, Elham, let me ask you a question real quick before you give us that answer. What now, you've worked with Eric, and you actually, what made you name an award? And you gave Eric, you presented Eric with an award. What brought you to do that?
Okay, Eric was my first friend in the USA in the social media. So to appreciate him, because I never forget anyone that helped me in the beginning. So I made the name under for the Eric Zulli Award. So Eric is supposed to come each year one time when the festival is coming, and award the person that he won award.
Last time
he awarded Tony Boldy, that he said that Tony was his first friend in the social media that helped him a lot since 15 years ago, I think. So I have Elham Award as well. So from this time, I'm going to award the first person that really helped me. So maybe I choose someone in anything.
Oh, that is so cool.
And the second season is going to be, the second season of the festival is going to be last week of October. And this time we are going to join with the Golden Global Pageant and Persian Queen Pageant. This is something new that I want to have it into the festival, that is about beauty of the people in and out, and fitness category and family relation oriented. What does that mean? That I created Empire Golden Global Family Award. That means that grandfather, grandmother, and mother and father, daughter, son, grandson, all of them as a whole package, all whole family. They can attend all together in the beauty pageant.
You do a lot of recognizing of the hard work people do, and you get recognition.
Exactly. I think that, okay, I lost and I missed my family, right? So many of them even died even when I was not there with them when they needed me. Especially my mother, that I feel like why I was not there when my mother needed me last minute. I was in university, actually. I was in Iran. So still I
You are an inspiration.
Thank you so much. Actually, my name is at home means inspiration. So in reality, at home means inspiration for C.
It's synonymous. It's synonymous. But anyway, we ask you, how can we get in touch?
Yeah, we're almost out of time, so we want to know if you're a filmmaker and you want to be involved in the festival, how do they get in touch with you?
Yes, people can reach me through my social media, and they can email this general email that is wind, windinff at gmail.com, windinff. At gmail.com, or they can look on windinternationalfilmfestival.com, and also a lot of elhammadani.com is my other website. There is a little bit hint about everything, and Elham, E-L-H-A-M, Madani, M, like Mary, A-D-A-N-I.com.
Well, thank you, my dear, for coming on, because we know you're so busy. But Reef and I appreciate it. We'd like to have you on again sometime. So,
just
such a good job.
Just to ask you something, that people should not think that we are just doing everything and we don't need support. We really need support. It's like going to the concert. You need to bring the people to the concert. You need to be helped too. So this is like a big organization. If anyone going to be a part from volunteer, from anything, internship, we can issue the credit. Everything is welcome.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you. And you are an inspiration. And the way you travel and build and recognize people, you're an inspiration. So we'd like to have you on again, and we're looking forward to seeing you through the year. But
thank
it's
you
time
so
to
much.
Move on, my dear. So, Elham, thank you. And Rita, I told you. Such an
thank
interesting
you. Thank
lady.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us.
Talk to you soon and see you soon.
All right, my dear. Thank you.
Welcome.
And that brings us up to tech time.
It's tech time.
Smartphone, cell phone, PC, Mac, tablet, iPad. That's right. It's tech time.
It's tech time. And again, the after Christmas, what do I do with all these gadgets? Well, I'm going to tell you, the first thing you need to do with everything, no matter whether it's a gadget, a program, an automobile, whatever, fill out the paperwork. Fill out the warranties. I know I have a bad habit of throwing them all in a drawer, and then when time comes, I've never registered it, and they won't honor the warranty, and I can't find the receipt. You know, it's so easy nowadays. All you have to do is take a picture of it with your phone for your receipt so you have a permanent record of it. And just fill out those registration forms. Mail them back in. Most of them you can do online. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure almost 100% of them you can do right online. Just put your name, address, phone number, all that stuff in there. You're worried about doing it online? Trust me. Your personal information is already online. So you're not adding anything to it that people that want to steal it, they can't get to it. It's already there. So you want to protect your Game Boys, your VCRs or TVs or DVRs or whatever you bought this Christmas or whatever presents you got, you want to protect it. And if you didn't buy the warranty, because a lot of people believe the warranties are a rip-off, and a lot of times they are, but sometimes they're not. Weigh the value. If you're paying $5 for an extra year or two warranty on a small appliance, it's not that big a deal. Yeah, they're probably ripping you off for $5, but don't worry about it. If you've got a high-end TV, you might want to spring for that higher price, especially if it covers damages, because anything could happen. So that's my tech advice for you today. Again, we're kind of going, it's low tech in one way because you can fill it out and mail it in, but it's also tech because you can go on the web and pretty much register anything. So enjoy those gadgets and those gifts. I'm going to be trying out some of mine. I've been working on my brain tap, listening to that. I'm going to have some reports on that to you, but I'll tell you now, it knocks me out. I don't have any problems going to sleep. But I turn on my brain tap, and I mellow right on out. So, and I filled out my warranty card.
So fill out your warranty cards, start playing with those gadgets, and we'll be talking about them over the next few weeks. And that brings us up to Jim's Jim.
Well, Aretha, all I know.
Okay,
is,
baby boomers, it's time for Jim's from Jim.
Okay, so Aretha, what I want to know is, does that brain tap have a recording? Because if it's tapping in Aretha Gray's brain, that's got to be some interesting material for us.
And that's some dark, scary stuff.
No, but I agree with you, and I think it's maybe a happy medium with the, getting the protective insurance, whatever you get for some of these devices. And if it's not worth the money, if it's only $20, $30 item, it's not worth it. But overall, I think if you are paying several hundred dollars, it kind of is worth picking up a policy for it in case you drop it or whatever. But I don't know, Reese. I'm not going to say the name. I don't want to drop any names, but I haven't really dropped my phone, but I'm seeing these little cracks, you know. And it was a very expensive phone, so I'm kind of glad I got a policy on that. But I think we're basically out of time for this. I'm going to see if it's either we have to bring Carmelita. I think it's time for Carmelita's Corner. I'll leave it up to our control panel because we're at 10:26, and we had a great great guest with Elham, and I'm taking notes with you.
You are about to experience Carmelita's Corner. Carmelita's song, Rosebud, made it to the top 40s with the godfather of soul, James Brown. She's the founder of the Rose Breast Cancer Society. Now here's your host, Carmelita Pittman.
Good morning, everyone, and a happy, happy new year. Isn't it a great new year? Well, as I just said, happy new year. I'm happy to be here. And by the way, the guest that you just had, Dr. Ilham Adani, is one of the most beautiful women in the world, and I congratulate her for what she's doing. And I hope she gets this message on the air. And with that greeting, I want to bring on my very, very special guest and special friend of many, many years, Robert Carl Cohen. Good
Hello.
Morning, Robert.
Hi.
Yes, hi. I was just mentioning you. You have such an amazing background, and you corrected me on the chronological age, although you're just a teenager at heart. At the young age of 86 years, you have led such an exemplary life. You have broken ground by being an independent thinker and filmmaker. And after military service at NATO Supreme Headquarters in Paris, in 1957, while studying for the doctorate in social psychology at the Sorbonne, you defied the then U.S. government's ban on travel to China by filming there for NBC TV. You were denied a passport under the Eisenhower-Nixon administration following the election of Kennedy in 1961 of your film Inside China, which received a letter of commendation from the U.S. State Department, and in 1963, you and your late wife, Helene, who later headed the Los Angeles Free Clinic, were the first Americans authorized by the United States government to film in Cuba. I mean, this is just a small little portion of your background, your bio. I know you also as a creator of Mondo Hollywood, which is now a cult classic, and you have also authored an amazing book, Black Crusader. Can you talk about some of these activities that were at first condemned and then later praised by the United States government? Okay.
Okay. Oh, well, first of all, I've never considered myself an iconoclast or someone who wanted to do things just because they weren't supposed to be done. I did my bachelor's in art and my master's in motion pictures at UCLA, leaving there in 54. I was drafted into the Army and first sent to Fort Monmouth, New Jersey as a TV director, and then to Paris, where I was stationed at NATO Supreme Headquarters. I received my discharge from the service in Paris and was studying for the doctorate in social psychology at the University of Paris, specializing in film. And while there, I was just trying to have a good time and be a student in Paris. In the summer of 1957, there was a World Youth Festival that was put on in Moscow. It was obviously a part of the Russian government's attempt to show that Russia had recovered from the damage of World War II, at least to, after having lost over 20 million people killed in the war and over 80% of their urban housing destroyed, that they were in good enough shape again to welcome people from all over the world to come to Moscow. It was very inexpensive to go, $110 U.S. Round-trip rail from London to Moscow and 2 weeks room and board to Moscow. So together with several other Americans who were hanging out in Paris, one of whom became quite famous, his name was Shel Silverstein, he was a cartoonist at that time for Playboy, five of us went to Moscow, and we enjoyed meeting people there from different countries and so on and so forth. At the end of the Moscow event, the Chinese invited people from many different countries to come to China. We didn't realize at the time, but it was part of the Sino-Soviet split that was taking place. The Chinese, in fact, were competing with the Russians. And it was absolutely forbidden by the U.S. government. There was a total ban on travel to China by U.S. citizens. And I had no intention of defying the travel ban, but I was then approached by NBC TV, the Moscow bureau chief, Irving R. Levine. I had done some work for NBC while I was in the Army at Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. I had done some research work. And he said, "Are you intending to accept this invitation to China?" I said, "Well, if I accept it, I'll be blacklisted. I'll be on a very bad boys list with the government because I did something that they're ordering me not to do." And he said, "If you accept it, will you film for NBC?" Well, that was created a dilemma. And after thinking about it for about 10 seconds, I said, "Yes, I'll go." And so as the NBC special correspondent, I traveled across Siberia for 9 days and throughout China for 6 weeks, filming everybody from Mao Zedong, Chou Enlai, to people living in sampan boats and so on. And I then came back to Paris and then returned to the United States. And the government refused to renew my passport because I had defied their policy, even though their policy was not actually based on any law, and I had researched it before making the decision. Finally, I began showing that film, Inside Red China, as a lecture film in universities throughout the United States and Canada. And in 1959, a year and a half or so, a year after I'd come back, I was suddenly got a passport in the mail. And then in 1961, after Kennedy was elected, I received a letter of commendation from the Undersecretary of State's office for this very same film. So one might say that was the beginning of my career. But having made the decision to do something that defied the government, I decided that I might as well continue doing it. Not that I'm a professional agitator or anything, but I found that the university audiences that I was showing my China film to were very curious about other parts of the world that Americans were not seeing, one of them being East Germany. And in 1959 and again in 61, I filmed throughout East Germany. It took me several weeks of negotiating with the East German government to get permission to do so, but I was actually permitted to drive around East Germany in a car by myself without anybody watching me. And I made a lecture film, which showed on the university circuit, called Inside East Germany. Then in 1963 and 62, I made a history of the Un-American Activities Committee with Jimmy Roosevelt and other leading politicians in it who were critics of the committee. And in 63 and 64, my late wife Helene and I were the first Americans to get U.S. State Department authorization to film in Cuba. And also, of course, we had to get permission from the Cuban government. And so I had three films that were extraordinary, Inside Red China, Inside East Germany, and Inside Castro's Cuba. And the show was later, we put soundtrack on it, and using the title Three Cubans, or Three Faces of Cuba, it showed on television throughout the National Educational Television Network, throughout the USA and Canada. I've produced several other films since then, but actually the thing that I think is, that I'm most proud of, you might say, is my book. I wrote a book called The Color of Man, which was the genetic environmental basis for pigmentation variations among large human populations. To put it in simple words, why people have different color skin and what does it mean. I wrote this book because I did that. I used that subject for my master's thesis film in 1954 before being drafted, and I found there were no books on the subject. There were lots of little segments of books, chapters and so on, many of them in contradicting one another. And I made a little 10-minute film, but then when I came back after 4 years in Europe, I found there was still no book on the topic, and so I took my research and wrote The Color of Man, which was published by Random House and Bantam Books, and I'm working on a new version of it today called The Color of Humanity. My Hollywood, more Hollywood-type stuff, like Mondo Hollywood, is a documentary which has been very controversial, and now, after 60 years or so, is being described as a classic. So I have lots of opportunities to do interesting things and go to interesting people, places, meet interesting people, and to contribute, perhaps in a small way, to understanding both in the United States and in other countries. My book, Black Crusader, was a biography of Robert Franklin Williams, the leading advocate of armed self-defense in the civil rights movement in the 60s. I had met him in Cuba in 63. He left Cuba and went to China, and then was in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, in 68, and contacted me, and I went there and spent 5 weeks interviewing him in Dar es Salaam. So I have two books, The Color of Man and Black Crusader, and a dozen or so films out, and you can see all my stuff on my website, which is Rad Films, RADFILMS, as in radical, radfilms.com. That's
okay.
About it.
All right, Robert, that's a whole lot in a nutshell. We have such a short time on the air, but you are such an amazing human being. I've often wondered over the years how you were able to pack it all in, but you managed. When was the last time you were in China? Did you spend your birthday there?
Well, the interesting thing is that my wife, Kim, and I went to China a bit over a year ago because after 58 years, I contacted the Chinese film studio in Changchun in northeast China, and they decided that it would be very interesting for me to come back to China and film the same places that I had filmed in 1957. And so my wife Kim and I traveled for 10 weeks throughout China, visiting 12 different cities. We traveled over 6,000 miles, and we went with the two camera crews, and we filmed several hundred hours of material about the incredible changes which have taken place in China. The big cities of China today, in fact, are unrecognizable. It's difficult to find a building that was there 60 years ago now, this is 2017. But 60 years ago, the situation in China, you can see it if you go to look at my film Inside Red China, which is on YouTube, Snag Film, and other places. And then we're working on the new material, which the Chinese are editing it right now. And you'll be able to see something unparalleled in human history, the greatest change in the shortest period of time for the largest number of people in the world. That's what we just finished making.
Well, you know something, I can attest to what you're saying. My mother sponsored a trip to China for me. I was one of the first Americans to go to Zhuzhaigou, and it's been a while ago now too.
But we took the Marco Polo Silk Route from one end of China to the other, and we wound up in Kashgar, not too far from Pakistan. So it was quite a geographic adventure, a real adventure. In fact, one time I was really praying my rosaries that I'd be able to make it back home, because one of the cliffs that we were on, part of the road was below us because it had collapsed, and they were blasting the mountain so they could make the road wider. But the little mini bus that we were on could only take one car at a time. And so if there was somebody coming along on the opposite side of the road, the driver used to have to drive to honk his horn. That's the way they communicated. There was nothing to guide you around that mountain. And at one point, we actually had to stop because there were people that came out with their arms up, waving us to stop. And then there was this big boulder that came down the mountain, because, you know, they were dynamiting, and it's all, if we had continued on, we would have been underneath that big boulder. So it was quite an experience. And we even got stuck at one point where they had to take planks of wood to put underneath the wheels, and the villagers had to push us out of this this portion of the road, because it was mostly dirt. There was no paved road. We had some places where, you know, it was really pretty treacherous, but that's something we need to talk and share notes with about our trips to China, because my mother went ahead of me, and we went to Tibet along one of those trails, and I actually got to see the Bodhi tree that the Buddha, the Gautama Buddha, sat under. So, I mean, to see that in person was really an amazing part of the trip. And I also saw some people there who looked very much like the Native Americans, the Navajo. They were even dressed in a similar fashion. And I had heard at some point in earlier times that they came across the Bering Strait and that they settled eventually into what we now call America. And that explains sort of the Asian appearance of our Native Americans. So it's really amazing. I found out that there are over 250 minority tribes there, different languages, different customs, and they're not all the same. It's not like here where everybody tries to make everybody boil down into being all one, but there are unique differences that are just beautiful and colorful. And I remember the prayer flags waving in the wind and so on. So, Bob, I just want to thank you for coming on our show and sharing what you have shared so far. I hope we can get you to come back again. You have so much to talk about. And your lovely
Carmelita,
wife.
I think he's actually been dropped. I think your time is up, and I think he actually dropped.
Well, Carmelita,
so we want to thank you both for some really great, interesting information.
Your guest is off the charts when it comes to the interesting scale, I'll tell you. He's an amazing.
Oh, he is.
Okay,
yes,
so thank
absolutely.
You so
we
much.
Have to move along. Thank you, Carmelita.
We're out of time here.
We're out of time, and I wanted to bring Eric in real quick. Eric, are you there? I text him over and over to see if he can come in and talk about a little bit real quick.
Yeah. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Rita. Thank you, Carmelita. You guys are awesome. I just want to make sure all the listeners know that we are doing a group, Easy Way, letter E, letter Z, W-A-Y, space, broadcasting, that you guys can join. And we're linking up with some of the most amazing speakers and amazing producers and amazing everything to make it a little easier on everybody. So that's the best way, or text Easy Way to 98028. We'll catch you guys next week. The airtime is about 10 seconds, so we'll catch you guys next week. Awesome show, guys.
Radio Boomers Live signing out. So long, Reese, and Happy New Year, everybody. Tune in next
Happy
week.
Happy New Year, 2017.
Happy New Year. Pop Bang Crash.
Thank you for listening to Radio Boomers Live with your hosts, Aretha Gray, star Betty White's Off Their Rockers, and EZ's dad, Jim Zulli. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Radio Boomers Live. Radio Boomers Live is brought to you by the Easy Way Broadcasting Network. That's the letter E, the letter Z, Broadcasting Network.